I'm Paul Wegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts. Joining me by phone today is artist A.T. Moffat and three-time Iraqi war veteran Charity Winters, here to talk with us today about a really exciting project they've been working on, Reentry, a performance tribute to veterans. Welcome, A.T. and Charity. Really glad to have you join us. A.T., if you could get us started on a description about this project that you've been working on.
I'm directing a multidisciplinary arts-based research project and production called Reentry, a performance tribute to veterans. And we're doing it to celebrate Veterans Day of 2017. Reentry is created and performed by an incredible cast of artists and veterans and highlights the experiences of four different veterans through their own works of art. So the show blends dance, music, poetry, essays, and oral history from veterans and their families.
Now, what was your impetus for this? What was your inspiration? How did you come up with this idea?
Well, this is a Delaware Division of the Arts supported project, and when I found out about receiving the fellowship, I was in the wrap up period of a 2-year project out of the University of Delaware, where we were studying racial oppression in both the U.S. and South Africa. And we were actually 1 week out from traveling to South Africa when I got this news. So I was in the midst of this very meaningful project, and I had 15 hours on the airplane to talk with my colleagues about it. And so this was the backdrop. Working on same stories, different countries, was the backdrop for me when I received the news. So my early ideas of what to do with the fellowship was very much shaped by this prior work and also insights and encouragement from my colleagues on that project. So around the same time, I'm originally from Kentucky, and my mom had told me about an interesting program in my home state called Dancing Well, a soldier project. And this project uses social dance as a way to support veterans and their families during the reentry process. So this was really interesting to me as well, and connected with my curiosity about veterans' experience and reentry. So the fellowship really gave me the opportunity to try out skills that I'd gained in same story, different countries, but within a new frame.
And Charity, how did you get involved in this project?
I write about veterans issues in various formats. I'm a poet. I do essays. I've written fiction and nonfiction for over a decade regarding my peer group as veterans and other generations of veterans. And AT was given one of my essays that I wrote about contemporary issues facing veterans today, particularly the civilian-military cultural gap that we're facing as fewer and fewer people serve. And AT read the essay, and she was intrigued by what I had to say. And so that led us to having some lunch and some talks about our concerns about the culture gap between veterans, the military, and the civilian population, and how can we use arts to bridge that. So I got brought into the project.
Now, as a writer, I'm curious, has your focus been primarily on veterans' issues and service in the military and the issues that veterans face coming home?
I have written about that. I've written about specifically my Iraq war experiences. I've written about what veterans kind of face coming home from my own perspective as one, getting out of the service and going to graduate school and starting a new life. I've written about some of historical perspectives on veterans. I am over the years have gotten into pockets of all of it, but mostly contemporary.
Now, A.T., back to you. I know, having attended a workshop that you led a week ago at the Delaware Art Museum, where you convened civilians and veterans, there was an opportunity to hear from a couple different people and the work that they do with veterans. I was most intrigued by the one person who spoke, who is, I believe, like a counselor or a chaplain of some kind, and he talked about the issues facing veterans. You know, we hear a lot about PTSD Could you speak to what he talked about? And Charity, please feel free to chime in about the role that the arts can play in helping veterans address issues that they sort of bring home with them, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. So, the gentleman that you're referring to is Tom Davis, and he is a Vietnam veteran who also is the director of the Interfaith Veterans Work Group. And he contacted me about when he learned about the workshop, and when I got his email, I said, "Hey, you know, yes, can't wait to meet you, and would you like to be involved? Would you share about the ministry that you're doing?" So he has one of his another connection with Tom Davis and the production is Flynn Poet Laureate Al Mills. So they work together on a veterans writing group, and Al Mills' poem called "How Ironic," spoken word poem, will be a part of the production as well. So in the context of the workshop on Saturday, Tom really laid the backdrop for us to begin our workshop, which focused on music and music from the different eras of conflict in our country. So before getting to that point, Tom introduced us to the language of PTS. One of the things I've learned in this from Tom and from this project that Tom taught us last week was that he uses the term PTS rather than PTSD. Because he says PTS is a normal reaction to an extreme scenario. So that's just one of the examples of what he shared with us. He also unpacked the language of moral injury, and folks have having to make decisions that are outside of their moral framework. And so he shared with us from his perspective and also from his research on these issues. So that we, the other participants who have been on the home front, can have a deeper understanding of this content.
Could you speak to you just mentioned research? Could you speak to the kinds of research you have done to put this work together?
Yes, absolutely. One of the core tenets of this project has been oral history. I direct a dance program at Washington College, and also at Washington College is the STAR Center for the Study of American Experience. And they have a veterans oral history program. And I have a wonderful student, Rachel Treglia, who was an intern with this oral history program, and she connected me with colleague, with STAR Center colleague Michael Buckley, who is an oral historian. So much of the background research has been through oral histories with veterans, with their families, and then also engaging through what we call narrative inquiry, which is more of a qualitative method, through works of art created by veterans. And that's where this connection and partnership with Charity. We are featuring her poems and essays in the work, but also it's the conversation and the dialogue between the two of us. Charity has really informed and shaped the entire production. And I think she's got a word to say, too, about we're just going to throw the ball to her momentarily.
Right.
Yeah, Paul. Hi. Yeah. Right now, in terms of, you were discussing research, but even just the current, it's a current issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with the civilian military culture gap. Even this week in the news, these discussions keep coming up and regarding the effects of a volunteer military service and how we use that. In America, we have approximately 22 million living veterans, approximately 2 million are women. And they're continuing, first of all, care for that population after they leave the service, but also who we are going to have coming into the military service and how are they going to serve and how the military is going to be used is a current pressing issue. And a part of what I had hoped to get out of even this discussion with AT and the performance is to inspire the interest in public discourse regarding our veterans and our current military, not just at the electoral level of those that we send to Congress or to government, but what's happening in our neighborhoods and our communities, to have neighbors talking about what's happening with the National Guard where are our young people being sent to? Because our most valuable resource, truly, I mean, I believe, is our young folk in America. And so making this discussion public, getting people interested again, and not having it a distance, far away thing, but something that's happening. The home front is here. It's happening, and these issues are current, and they're going to have long-term effects on the American landscape.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. The question that pops into my head related to the research that you've done, because I know the program goes all the way back to World War II and comes to the present day. In the research, what kind of dynamics have you discovered or had affirmed for you in the different perspective that the general American populace has for veterans from the various wars?
Okay, well, I mean, I can give you kind of even my perspective. I mean, I think without getting into mythology or how we kind of generalize each generation of wars,
right?
We have the Lost Generation, we have the Greatest Generation, we have the Korean War, the Forgotten, the Vietnam War. So they all kind of do come with their own generational, better word, baggage.
Yeah.
How the population then views it, how we even isolate that, for better or worse, in our minds, which then does only increase the gap. It's something that other people did, not necessarily an experience that was shared by the majority of Americans. So even when I came home, I left the service in 2009. I'm a 2003 Air Force Academy graduate, and I was the Air Force version of the military police officer. And when I got out of the service in 2009, coming in even to just the American higher education system to go to grad school, none of my professors had served, and none of my classmates in a clinical doctoral program had served. And in many ways, I sometimes thought they might have seen me either kind of like Forrest Gump, which was, you know, kind of like a lovable idiot who just decided to go on a bizarre camping trip, or worse, they thought it might have been something out of Full Metal Jacket. So they had these very sort of possibly extreme views on what a veteran is. And of course, you know, and not only that, but I'm a woman. So I think the public idea of what a veteran is greatly shaped by images from movies, images from the television, and that shapes then public discourse on the issue.
Interesting. Well, I want to continue our discussion, but first remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests joining us by phone today are artist A.T. Moffitt and three-time Iraqi war veteran and literary artist Charity Winters, talking about an upcoming program, Reentry, a performance tribute to veterans. Before we run out of time, we've got plenty of time left, but A.T., I want to give you a chance to promote the event, of when and where it's going to be.
Thank you. The production will be held on Friday, November 10th at 7 o'clock at the Baby Grand in Wilmington on Market Street. The event is free and open to the public. We also are showing excerpts of the work at Washington College down in Chestertown, Maryland, on Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th, at 7 o'clock at Gibson Center for the Arts, also free and open to the public.
Great. Thanks so much. We've been talking about sort of the background to this. I'm curious where or how, ATN and Charity, how you identified the specific resources you're using in this program, as well as the performers, the individuals that are contributing content and the individuals who are presenting that content.
Absolutely. The link to the content was really most strong with the STAR Center for the Study of American Experience at Washington College and my colleague, Michael Buckley, who has been so generous in inviting us to go to the Library of Congress's Veterans Oral History Program and making some of the resources available through the History Department at Washington College available to me and to my dance and theater students. So the genesis of the project was a series of letters, 4 years worth of letters between Edward and Sophie Milan. Edward served in World War II in the Air Force. And the archive, the oral history archive, has like I said, 4 years of letters, photos, a wedding cake topper, and his military trunk. So that was really the genesis of it, where I thought, you know, I think that we can isolate portions of this letter, of these letters, and, you know, build a narrative that encompasses both, you know, the tender exchanges between this couple, as well as noting the events, you know, historical events of the war itself. From there, I met Charity. So that brought us into contemporary time. And as I've said, her work has shaped not only the section where we are highlighting her creative writing, but has really shaped the arc of the whole. Something that she shared with me early on that has been pivotal is that we need to highlight the light and the dark. That, you know, life is full, and we want to highlight as much of that spectrum as possible.
Could you speak to some of the individuals and organizations who have been involved in the creative process of this piece? I mean, I learned from the workshop last week that it's not just the two of you. You've engaged other performing artists and literary artists in the actual development of this program.
Absolutely. I mean, the list of collaborators is epic. I've been overwhelmed by the Wilmington and Delaware arts community and how interested and invested they are in creating collaborative work and in this topic specifically. So some of those artists are Ashley S.K. Davis and her incredible modern dance company, Pieces of a Dream Incorporated. They are based in Wilmington. Kimberly Schroeder, who directs the dance program at the University of Delaware, and her company, Ignite Dancing Artists. Excellent. Marielle Kraft is a UD alumni, and she helped create the educational materials. Al Mills, of the Twin Poets, the Poet Laureate of Delaware, has contributed a spoken word poem called How Ironic. We have Dr. Sherry Goodill. I know her as a dancer friend, but she is also the dance movement therapist and chair of Drexel's Department of Creative Arts Therapy. So she is a performer who has worked at the national level in dance movement therapy, bringing the creative arts therapies to veterans and their families. Let's see, another big contributor is Christina Cultural Arts Center. Ms. Ray Jones Avery has put me in contact with Khalil Munir, who is a tap dancer based in Philadelphia, and actually supporting Christina Cultural Arts Center is supporting his involvement in the project, and he is our tap dancer who is involved in the portion of the show that features the Roy Boots Battle, jazz musician and Tuskegee Airman. So, and there are also many folks who have just generously spoken with me about their experience serving. India Cologne, who served in the U.S. Air Force and is the director of Nueces Raices, Delaware. From my hometown, Leon Tarter, World War II vet / swing dancer. I mean, I've basically talked to everyone I know who can connect arts and the military. And one last person I don't want to leave out, Peter Anthony, who's the music teacher and percussion ensemble at Palmer Elementary. He is bringing his students to perform, his drumline students to perform. So it's a long list.
That's great. We have a few minutes left here, so I'm curious to hear from both of you on what you have learned from this project. AT?
Well, I think starting this project, I was really interested in reentry and that aspect of it, because I felt like and myself as a civilian, art was my inroad, my buy-in to the my way of stepping into this issue. But I saw veterans and artists as separate entities. But through working on this project, I have realized that there's a category I wasn't aware of, and that's veteran artists. Many veterans are engaged in creative arts practices, both professionally and just for their own enrichment. So I think that is something that I've really learned. I've also learned about the history that you mentioned earlier about the differences in the home front from different eras. And I think when I started the project, I thought, you know, well, World War II, it was united home front. There were efforts to support the war. Then things went really awry in Vietnam. And now it seems, you know, more ambiguous along, you know, political lines. But I've just learned so much nuance to that trajectory. For example, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen and you know, being, you know, serving and yet not being supported in the way that other soldiers were. So I've learned some of the nuances and the more complete look at the history.
Okay, I don't want to cut you off, but I want to give Charity a minute here. Go ahead, Charity. What have you learned?
What have I learned? I think a lot of veterans, possibly when they're getting out, they have a sense of profound isolation, even if they're from military families. But with working with AT and working with, what has inspired me is not only their interest, but their absolute drive to come to a better understanding of the subject matter that we're covering, and that it isn't isolating. Veterans bring so much to our communities, and there's so much that they can do and that our communities need us to do. And engaging here at the university with AT and the students, again, just has, for me, re-energized, my drive to continue doing that and reaching out and working on this cultural gap that we kind of see around us, but also believing in our communities and that we aren't isolated, that we can come together on this. And it has to happen at home. It happens next door. It happens down the street. It happens in schools like this. And it's been inspiring, and it's been a bit of a homecoming.
Well, I'm really glad to hear this from you, Charity. Again, just to remind our listeners, Reentry, a performance tribute to veterans on November 10th at 7 p.m. at the Baby Grand. Thanks so much, both of you, for joining us.
Thank you.